This is Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. I'm Candace Burke, your weekly host. Our purpose is to enhance public awareness of our featured nonprofit or advocacy organization in Grant County and surrounding area. Today's guest is Valerie Kling. Valerie is the Grant County Coordinator of the Youth Substance Awareness and Prevention Coalition. Welcome to Community Spotlight, Valerie.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here, Valerie. Now, if you can talk to us all about the mission and vision of the coalition.
Absolutely. So the mission statement of the Youth Substance Awareness and Prevention Coalition is to build community collaboration to reduce and prevent youth drug and alcohol use and misuse, as well as address factors that increase risks of usage and promote factors that increase resiliency. So to sum it all up in the vision statement, it's really to provide all community members in Grant County the knowledge to choose a life free of alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, as well as adverse health behaviors, which we think is really important.
Well, that's good. And how long has this coalition been around overall?
So overall, the coalition in some form or another has been around since about 2013. So since then we have gone through different staffing changes, but we've been strong in our coalition since about that time. And I've been with this particular coalition since I was hired in 2021, so about a year now, a year and a half almost. And it's just really great work. We have really great partners, and it's just been a joy overall.
And it's and this outreach with adolescents is of particular interest for me, because there is really such a huge need for it on every level. We had that conversation last week when we first got acquainted.
Absolutely. So we participate in outreach in different forms. So ultimately, our goal is to, just reach the youth in a way that's productive, in a way that's giving them the knowledge necessary about opioid prevention, alcohol prevention. We also engage parents and guardians in different capacities as well. We work a lot with local law enforcement in our efforts. So overall, just working to meet those strategies. It's really important to connect with the youth within this coalition, and that's something that we've been trying to build a little bit more capacity with. COVID happened, and it was kind of everyone was kind of at low capacity at that time. But now we're in the works of trying to, build up our outreach with youth and the general Grant County community in general. So it's been a really exciting time for that. And we've had a lot of engagement from different community members, which I'm really thankful for.
Valerie, what are some of the substance use issues you're seeing currently? What's going on out there with the kids?
Wow. So that's that's such an interesting question, because and timely as well, because our statistics for the Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey they're actually in the process of coming out right now. So the YRRS, or Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey, little tidbits of information are being released at a time regarding the survey, and they're still working on breaking it out into separate counties specifically. But what I see within this county is, there's still struggles going on with opioid misuse.
And includes fentanyl too, right?
Absolutely. Yes. I was just going to point that out. I love that you are knowledgeable about the fact that fentanyl is also an opioid, because not many people within our county or maybe within New Mexico in general are aware that fentanyl is actually an opioid and that that's part of our direct efforts with YSAP. So we do see the issues with opioids in youth and adults, you know, kind of fluctuating throughout the years. It was on the rise through 2019, I believe. And without directly looking at the statistics, I know that within Grant County, it continues to be an issue, as well as the underage drinking aspect of it, which is really important to note. Other substances that we're seeing popular within the county or ones to note are, you know, nicotine misuse in terms of electronic cigarettes. That also has to do with marijuana vaping as well. And marijuana is a hot topic, right? Because it's recently legalized, but we like to point out that, that, you know, with the youth and the developing brain, it's still something to be very conscientious about.
Yeah. I love that conversation we had last week about, you know, an adolescent's developing brain and how the effect of substance use can have long-term consequences for that young brain.
Right. Yeah, and especially in terms of addiction. You know, our brain is developing until we're the age of 25, more or less. So there's been different studies on that. And as individuals continue to, you know, be introduced or misuse things like alcohol or other substances, it changes our brain, right? And this is called neuroadaptations. So within our brain, we are, you know, pulling from our environment constantly, especially when our brain is still being programmed. So these neuroadaptations occur, and essentially what it does is it shapes the structure and function of the brain. So yeah, this really drives our overall, you know, what our life is going to look like, or what our thoughts are going to be, or how we're really going to be, how we're going to think when in our adulthood after the brain is fully developed. So it's really interesting, especially in terms of addiction.
Yeah, very much so. And I really appreciated too what you had to say regarding how family culture also plays a huge part in how that kid views substance use.
Absolutely. You know, it's so important, and I cannot stress this enough. It's so important that youth especially have a good family culture, have that peer support, have that family support, are having those conversations with their parents and people that they look up to, because statistics actually show that the stronger those connections are within the family, the more connections that youth have with their peers, those are the things that are really going to help prevent in terms of prevention in substance misuse. So I do have a few things to talk about in terms of you know, alcohol use and related risk factors. So so there was a few things that came up in the recent YRS data. And a lot of it was a really interesting conversation that we had with the epidemiologists that were relaying this information, because selected risk and risk behaviors and characteristics by level of drug use, you know, you see if youth do not have good familial support, if they don't have good peer support, if they are not having these conversations with their parents, you can just see how the likelihood of them using substances and or being, you know, being chronic users of these substances, you can see how it increases without this familial support. So I love the conversation surrounding of, you know, the power of the parent, the power of the grandparent, because, you know, we're seeing these patterns. If again, like I said, if these youth have good familial support, if they have good support in the school, in the community, they're less likely in long term to use substances. And that's what we really like to encourage. We like to encourage parents, grandparents, you know, our community in general, to have these conversations with kids. You know, like, let's talk about substance misuse. Let's talk about the consequences. Let's talk about the harms. Making your child feel comfortable with talking to you about these things is really important. So, yeah, I can't stress that enough, because the family, school, community, peers, these are really important protective factors overall when it comes to substance misuse.
And like you said, and the more adults have these conversations with youth, the better it is for the youth. They have more knowledge and more tools for resiliency.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's why we like to you know, encourage these conversations overall. But also, the federal government, I don't know if you're familiar with SAMHSA. SAMHSA is one of our, I'm sorry, I have to look at what exactly it stands for. Yeah. SAMHSA stands for Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services. So this is, SAMHSA itself has different resources for parents and guardians that want to have these conversations with their children, and they really encourage it. So this program in particular is called Talk They Hear You, and there's really good resources on the SAMHSA homepage for Talk They Hear You, and it just gives different resources about the you know, use of use these five goals when talking to your kids about alcohol and drugs, and it provides different resources or different tips. Like one of them is show you disapprove of underage drinking and other misuse. Show that you care about your child's health, wellness, and success. Show you're a good source of information about alcohol and other drugs. Show that you're paying attention and you'll discourage these risky behaviors. And build your child's skills and strategies for avoiding underage drinking and drug use. So, yeah, I mean, SAMHSA's Talk They Hear You is something that we as preventionists use really frequently when parents and guardians come to us with these questions like, how do I start this conversation with my kid about substance misuse? You know, because that's an important question.
It really is. And Valerie, I mean, with your own personal experiences with your family of origin, we had some a good chat about that. What can you share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my family has some deep roots here in Grant County. So to give a little bit of background, my mother and her family moved here in the 70s. They actually moved to Fort Baird. And at this time, my grandfather was, he was the director of, and he was an addictionologist. He was the director of the hospital at Fort Baird, specializing in addiction. And, you know, he provided a lot of good resources. He helped a lot of people throughout his career. And by the time he passed away, he had about 32 years of sobriety under his belt.
Excellent.
Another cool little tidbit is my grandfather, his name was Dr. Pollock. And he opened up Mesilla Valley Hospital in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
He was the lead.
He was the lead MD there. It was great. You know, and there's a lot more personal stories in terms of addiction when it comes to my family. So I come from a long line of alcoholism. Both environmentally and genetically, it's showed itself in our family. So like my uncle has had had problems with addiction, alcoholism in particular. My grandfather, obviously, different members of my family. And before my grandfather became an addictionologist, he was a pediatrician, but once he got sober, he became really, really passionate about helping people through the 12-step process and alcoholism in general.
Yeah, it sounds like he did. He really he just paid that gift forward.
Absolutely, yeah. And then my parents met here in Grant County. Like I mentioned, my mother lived here for years, and both of my grandparents are buried at the Fort Baird Cemetery. And I have a lot of passion for the community here in Grant County, and I love the discussion surrounding substance misuse prevention, because it's something that my family overall is really passionate about.
Yeah, you're carrying on that family legacy of getting the word out and, offering that most needed support.
Yeah, I try and do what I can. I could never fill my grandfather's shoes, but I try to do what I can with the capacity that I have.
Now, what are some current projects you're working on now, including with harm reduction and various levels of outreach?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, YSAP is currently funded through the Office of Substance Abuse Prevention, as well as NMDOH. And the NMDOH contract is really where we hone in on harm reduction. YSAP in general, or me in particular, I provide Narcan trainings for the Grant County and Hidalgo County community in partnership with Margaret Chavez, who is head of the Hidalgo County Health Council. She's the coordinator there. So we regularly provide Narcan trainings to both of our communities. We're both considered Narcan hubs, so we can provide Narcan for any community member or professional seeking Narcan itself. So I guess I should start with just talking a little bit about what Narcan is, in case anyone is unaware. So Narcan is an opioid antagonist. So it temporarily reverses the effects of an opioid overdose in particular. So it's really important, and it should be in everyone's first aid medication box. That's what I always say, because
I agree.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to need it, and it's important to have an overdose plan. So there's that. And then in terms of current and past projects that we've been working on, is we're really looking to get more involved with the local youth. So we have amongst our conversations within our coalition every month, we really look to engage the parents, the grandparents, the professionals around the community to see how we can really engage our youth. We're working with the National Guard right now to provide vaping-based presentations in for Grant County schools, in particular Silver High School, so that we can provide that kind of education, because a couple of staff members from the school mentioned that vaping is an issue within the school. So we really want to nip that in the bud and provide that education where we can, in partnership with the National Guard. We also attend various outreach events. The most recent one was the Fight Like a Girl event.
Yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. The local community member, I believe her name is Lydia, she put on this Fight Like a Girl event to kind of make the community aware of you know, if there's something that's happening within our community, you see something and you do something. And she has a really cool personal story about, you know, seeing an act of violence, and then she intervened and called the police. And it's just a really inspiring, passionate story. And we were happy to be a part of that. So we work really closely with also with Grant County DWI, Daniel Graves and Arlene Camarena, to be able to provide fentanyl presentation. Our most recent project, I should say, is we're looking to develop a fentanyl presentation for youth, so that we can start working on that sort of prevention within the schools. And some other partners consist of people within the juvenile probation office and SAS as well. So yeah, I mean, we look to pretty much attend any community outreach event that we can that's willing to have us and spread the word about prevention, because we're really passionate about what we do.
And what contact information can you give us? I also have this online. I'll have this available online also.
Okay, yeah. So my contact information in particular is my email is vkling, K-L-I-N-G, at chi-phi.org. And my telephone number is 575-597-0025. So people, and I encourage people to get in touch with me as desired, just to kind of share their story, or if they're interested in joining our coalition. So our coalition meetings are the last Thursday of every month, traditionally at lunchtime, so from 12 to 1. Sometimes they're just via Zoom, and then sometimes they're in person as well. So but we always provide updates about like the venue in which the meetings are going to happen. And we really encourage participation at the table, because these Grant County community members, they're the most important aspect of, you know, empowerment within our community. If the community members are empowered with educational tools on how to prevent alcohol and drug misuse, then that's the best way that we can really really engage our community in general, and really work towards a safer and flourishing community. And yeah, even if you just want to get in touch with me to like share your personal story, I love hearing that stuff. A couple of people have come to me and told me that they knew my dad. My dad's name was Tim Kling. The Pollock family. So a couple of people have come to me and said, oh, I knew your granddad, or I knew your dad, or, you know, I know your mom. And it's really just heartwarming to hear that, have that personal connection within the community.
Valerie, as we're wrapping up today's show, what else would you like for us to know about your coalition?
So I would say that if you're interested in becoming a larger part of the community, if you are interested at all in you know, the future of our youth in terms of prevention, you know, the World Health Organization stated that approximately 80% of chronic diseases are preventable. And I just don't think that there's enough resources put into prevention. A lot of it is put into after the fact. It's put into treatment. It's put into recovery, which is really important. But I think that a lot more emphasis should be put on prevention in general. So I just would encourage people to get in touch with me, get involved, and if you see us out and about, get in touch with us. Come say hi. We want to be known within the community, and we want to continue our work in terms of preventing alcohol, opioid misuse, and providing harm reduction to our community.
Yeah, and as you say, that developing brain is so important, and And I think, you know, in every stage of life, it's so important to take care of that noggin up there. You know, for me, neuroplasticity means everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many different little statistics that we can talk about. But at the end of the day, if someone just, if they choose to use alcohol or substances, if they wait until after the age of 25, they are so much less likely to become addicted to that substance or misuse it. So that's really the takeaway that I want to provide, is that while youth brains are still developing, it's so important that we protect that and not just tell people, oh, hey, using drugs is bad, don't do it. Well, it's important to talk about why and have those really interesting conversations with our youth and engage them, because that's what they need. And in order to prevent that addiction factor, we need to have these conversations within the family and make it more culturally acceptable. And by culturally, I mean within the family unit, within the community. It's just so important.
I think this is absolutely vital what you're sharing with us today, you know, because I don't think there's a lot of conversation with youth about waiting till they're 25 to experiment or sample something and how vital that is. And even with alcohol, a lot of people, even in my age group, are not aware that alcohol is a carcinogen, that there's more harm in drinking than there is health benefits, you know?
Right, absolutely. And I like to say that, you know, there's this kind of idea that because a substance is legal, like alcohol, right? It's somehow, you know, socially acceptable, definitely socially acceptable, but somehow it's viewed as less harmful. Yeah. And I like to tell students whenever we have these conversations within the schools that alcohol is arguably the most destructive substance of them all when it comes to your brain development, because it really stunts the person who uses or misuses alcohol. It's yes. Even in adulthood, it's very detrimental, but especially when your brain's still developing in your youth years, it's so important that you stay away from it.
Well, there's so much you can educate the youth and families in our community about all the substances, including weed, and certainly opiates being a huge issue with youth these days. So I'm really glad you're here to talk about all this.
Well, thank you so much. I just want to mention something really, really quickly about stigma. So
please do.
Yeah. So commonly, you know, we kind of think of people who misuse drugs and alcohol as addicts, or we use kind of that terminology of like, oh, they're just an addict, or we really don't think of alcoholism or substance misuse as a disease. And I think culturally that needs to change. Just because somebody uses substances or misuses them because they have, maybe they have an addiction problem, that doesn't mean that they're any less of a person. It's very important that we change our vocabulary to drug abuse, from drug abuse to things like drug misuse, maybe, or change the term addict to person with a you know, substance misuse problem.
Yes.
That terminology is so important. And so as human, we kind of tend to look at ourselves and, you know, compare ourselves to others. And it's so important to acknowledge that we are all human, and there's no human that's less than somebody else. So just the discussion surrounding reducing that stigma is so important.
Valerie, I totally agree with you. I would like to see the stigma removed fully from substance use disorder to any forms of behavioral health struggles and issues. It's a way of us reframing this and being, you know, more accessible to others and welcoming. So I thank you for this.
Absolutely. Prevention is key.
Thank you again, Valerie. It was a joy.
Thank you so much.
Community Spotlight airs every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. It is also available online at gmcr.org. You have been listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. I'm Candace Burke. Be well and happy.